Thank you, David. A couple weeks ago, as is pretty much my custom, I have a very difficult time falling asleep. And so I was up alone in our house, and I decided to turn on the TV, and as I was going through the channels, I came across a news station that carries news 24 hours a day, and I just stopped there because something caught my eye. It said this at the bottom of the screen. It said, "The worldwide recession is over." And I thought to myself in those late hours, really? Really? I must have not got the memo. In fact, I truly believe there are a lot of people in our world who didn't get that memo. And we meet one of those people today in our text. The Bible tells us that there was a woman from Zarephath who was out by the city gate, and she was picking up sticks. And as she was going about that menial task, there was a stranger who had come to those city gates, and he had the audacity to ask this poor woman for a drink. And without hesitation, she goes and she prepares to provide a drink for this stranger, a man she had never met. But before she goes very far, the stranger stops her with these words. He said, "And oh, by the way, while you're getting me something to drink, could you stop and make me something to eat? Bring me a piece of bread." And I have to tell you, as I read this text, this was the straw that finally broke the camel's back. This was more than this poor woman could bear. And if you don't think that is true, just listen to what it says in our text. She says to the stranger, "As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home that I may make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Without a doubt, this woman was in a very desperate situation. In fact, there are people, millions of people throughout our world that are in the same situation as this woman as we speak this morning. There are millions upon millions of people who do not know where their next meal is going to come from. And if they do have a little bit of nourishment available to them, many in their minds, I truly believe, are ready to eat that meal and, like this woman, go home and die. But not the stranger at the gate. He knew through the word that God had given to him that his God would provide, not only for him, but also for the woman. And so upon hearing these words of the woman, the prophet Elijah speaks up and says these words in our text. Elijah said to the desperate woman, "Do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord gives rain on the land." And what does the woman do? She goes. And she does as Elijah had told her. And you know the story. God provides. He meets their needs. But I wonder, as I stand before you this morning, how many of you here today feel as if the same recession that came knocking on that woman's door in our text for today is also alive and well in your heart and home this morning. It's been reported that there are 26 million Americans in this country who live under the poverty line, and that one out of every three young families in this country is only one paycheck away from going under. You know, one of the things that really surprised me about the world in which we live every day is how much things cost. It seems as if things are getting more and more expensive every day, and even for those of us who have stable, everyday jobs, paychecks we can depend upon, it still amazes me how much things actually cost and what is required to pay for them. I read recently that a new car purchased here in America cost as much as the three voyages that Christopher Columbus took from Spain to the New World. I don't know if that's true, but I believe it. So what do we do, my friends, when the recession comes knocking on our door? When we find it alive and well in our hearts and even our Christian homes? Well, I truly believe, as I have studied this text for our time together this morning, that there are three things that God encourages us to do in this text. The first of them is to trust God. You know, one of the things that I've really realized in my time here in the three visits that I've made during this school term is that we talk a lot about faith in this place, do we not? And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, every single one of us here in this place, when the recession comes knocking on our door, when it's alive and well in our hearts and a home, have a hard time trusting God. Do we not? I know I do. And that same was true for the woman in our story. She had given up on God. She was going to go home and use what little she had, make a meal for her and her son, and they were going to die. And then Elijah comes. And he gives her a message of hope and a promise that God would provide. And he does. My friends, we can talk about faith until we're blue in the face. But let's be honest. When days are dark and times are tough, it's very hard for even the most faithful among us to trust God. And yet today he comes to us in the means of his word and he encourages us to lay all that we have and even all that we don't have into his loving arms. And to trust that just as he provided for Elijah to the woman at Zarephath, and just as he provided for the woman and her son there in that place, so too he provides and promises great things for us. Why? Because we know through the pages of Scripture, the one who promises, our Savior God, is always faithful. And how do we know that? And how can we trust that when times are tough and the days are dark? Because of Jesus, who came into the disappointment and desperation of our world to not only forgive our sins, but to give us hope and the help that we need when the recession of this world, the recession of our hearts, are in desperate need. And he provides. He always has, and he always will. And so the first thing we learn from our lesson for today is that because of Jesus and what he has done fully and freely for each and every one of us at the cross and the empty tomb, we can trust in him. The second thing we learn in our text today is not to give up. In our lesson for today, the woman was ready to give up. She was ready to throw in the towel. If you don't think that is true, just remember these words. She was going home to make what little she had for her and her son, and what was she going to do? Prepare themselves to die. That's desperation. And I bet some of you have been through desperate times like that in your lives. And I truly believe, because I used to go to this place almost 25 years ago, that maybe you're living in that kind of recession today as we speak. But today I want to encourage you, just as our God does, not to give up. To trust that God has a purpose and a plan for you, not just in this life, but especially in the one to come, for Jesus' sake. To know that the very one who has brought you to this place has great plans for you and your family. And even though you may be going through a difficult and dark time in your marriage or in your finances or even in your studies, God has promised to be with you, to lift you up, and to hold you in the palm of his hand. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this term. I live in Nebraska, and so this is maybe a Nebraska term because we're so addicted to Big Red football. But I would imagine, because some of you have a life outside of this place, don't tell anyone, that you may be acquainted with this term called YAC. Y-A-C. Any of you know what that means? Don't raise your hand, because that means you weren't reading paper like you should. They still read that here, don't they? It stands for yards after contact. You know who coined that phrase? John Madden. He used to be the head football coach for the Oakland Raiders, or the Las Vegas Raiders now, and was a longtime commentator on Monday Night Football. What does that mean, yards after contact? For those of you who are very familiar with football like I am, it means that when a runner has the ball and when he gets hit, he doesn't go down. He doesn't say, quit playing so rough. He doesn't take his ball after he's been drilled in the helmet and go home like my two boys used to do when they used to play in the backyard. And then I would play. My friends, in our lesson for today, this sinful world hit that poor woman right in the chops. She was about ready to take her ball and go home and die. And I truly believe, because we're afflicted by sin in our own hearts and lives, because we live in a sin-sick world, there are times we also want to take our ball and go home. But not today. Not now. Like the best runners in the National Football League, we keep going forward. We keep pressing on toward that goal that Christ has set before us. And we trust and we know that he's got a plan even for us. The final thing that our text teaches us today is this: that just as our Lord has his eye always on the sparrow, so too he watches over us. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, when God commanded Elijah to go to Zarephath and that there would be a woman who would provide for his needs, he went. And probably in his own mind he thought, well, God is going to provide for me. But I think one of the things and one of the most important parts of this story is that God was not only just watching over his prophet Elijah, he was also looking after the needs, the desperate needs of the woman and her son. And he provides. And today I just want to remind you that just as our good and gracious God's eyes were always upon Elijah and the woman and her son, so too he watches over each and every one of us every single day. This summer, my family and I are going over to Europe. Our youngest son is getting married in the Netherlands. And I've been doing a lot of study about that because I've never been there before other than just flying through onto another destination. And one of the places that my wife and I are going to spend some time in is Vienna, Austria. And one of the things that I did not know about Vienna, Austria, is the Danube River runs through there. And if you're a thrill seeker, you want to go there. You know why? Because people like to go there and then jump in the Danube River because it's so very dangerous. You know what makes that river so dangerous? It's got incredible whirlpools in it, and if you swim into it, it sucks you right down to the abyss. You know the only way you can get out of that whirlpool? The only way you can keep from being sucked to the bottom of the river is quit swimming. Quit struggling. And be still. I don't know about you, but I'm not signing up for that drill. But I do know one thing. Today in our word, God encourages us really to do three things. To trust in him, to not give up, and to remember that his eyes are always upon us, no matter how dark or dismal our lives may become. And so today I want to encourage you to trust your Lord, to be still before him, and to know that your lives are in his hands. God bless you, and thank you for the privilege. Amen.